The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct." The Gospel of the Lord. The Gospel we have today has Peter being a rock in a different way than he was last Sunday. Last Sunday, Peter proudly and boldly proclaimed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, "You are now Peter." Right? We translate it kind of so that sound sounds as similar as we can get to it in English. But kind of a definition of Petrus would be rocky, right? That it actually refers to him being like a rock, being solid. And he's the rock on which the church is going to be built. So good job, Peter. You did good last week. But then this week, seems like he kind of messes it up. That as soon as Peter takes one step forward, it seems like he takes two steps back because he tries to rebuke Jesus, tries to correct him and say, no, we won't let that happen. We won't let you go and suffer and be killed by the scribes and Pharisees. But then Jesus says that, "Peter, you're being a different kind of rock now." That we translated in English as, "You are an obstacle to me," but quite literally, it means you have become a stumbling block. You've become a rock in the way of my path. That in the original language, Jesus is really referring to this rockiness of Peter, this stubbornness that now is not a good thing to build up the church, but is actually something that gets in the way of Jesus. Actually, I think that leads to a much deeper lesson for us as followers of Jesus. Because sometimes we feel like Peter and it's like, okay, well, sometimes I get stuff right and sometimes I get stuff wrong. And Jesus, I'm trying, but just never seems to get everything right. It just feel like we're kind of doomed to always get some stuff wrong like Peter does in today's gospel. I think the lesson is a little bit deeper than that. Because I think Jesus wants Peter to identify with this rockiness, with maybe this hard-headedness, this being stubborn, this being really strong in his convictions. Jesus wants Peter to know that that is a good thing, especially like last week, that he holds firm to this conviction that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I think especially as Jesus is looking, as Jesus heads towards Jerusalem, as he's going to meet this opposition and ultimately be killed by the scribes and Pharisees. He wants Peter to be strong in those moments to still have that faith and trust in Jesus as the Messiah. But Jesus also knows that that stubbornness can be a stumbling block, can make it harder for Peter to follow Jesus. So he kind of wants to warn Peter to know that he has to tread lightly, not just doing things because he goes, okay, Jesus told me it's good that I'm stubborn, so I'm going to do all my stubborn stuff whenever I think of it. And that means I'll be doing what Jesus wants. Jesus wants Peter to know, no, listen first to the voice of God, listen first to the will of God, and then use the gifts you have given, like your stubbornness and hard-headedness, to be firm and persistent in that, to persevere in times of difficulty, not doing your own will, but deferring to the will of Almighty God. just as Jesus shows us as he turns towards Jerusalem and heads towards his death on the cross and his ultimate resurrection. I think that changes the lesson for us today. Again, that it's not just about sometimes we'll get the question wrong or sometimes we'll get it right, but to look at ourselves and say, well, okay, how am I like Peter? Maybe not in the gift of being stubborn or hard-headed and firm in our convictions. Maybe it's more in the generosity we want to show to others, the ways we naturally find empathy or want to help the people around us. Maybe it's in our piety and in our quietness that we know that there are those times that we need to be quiet with the Lord to listen to him and to spend time in prayer. Maybe it's other virtues or things that are very good. Maybe it's our real streak of independence, of being able to do things on our own and get things done. Again, in general, I think all of those things are good things. But if we focus on them, focus on just doing those things because they're good, well, they can easily become instruments of the evil one. They can easily become these stumbling blocks, like Peter's stubbornness, Peter's rockiness becomes in today's gospel. And instead, Jesus wants us to notice those things and say, okay, how do I actually put this in service of God and the church? How do I notice this gift of my own personality or my own natural abilities? And how can I put those in service of God and his church? I think that's what he wants Peter to do in the gospel. To realize that Jesus is going to show him what it means to be obedient to the will of God. And he wants Peter's rockiness to be a gift, to strengthen that obedience in moments of need. But he needs Peter not to do it just his own way, but instead to look and defer to the way of Almighty God. Again, I think with our own gifts and abilities, God often does exactly that. For those of us that are very generous and want to help others, there's usually times in our lives that we get kind of burned by that, right? Either by family or friends or people that we try to help generously, just that we encounter in the world. They either misuse what we give them, or they take advantage of us, or they come back every week or every month trying to ask for something more. It makes us not really want to be generous with anybody, right? To say, well, that's not really worth it because it's this big whole headache. I think instead of that, I think Jesus wants us to say, okay, help me to use this generosity, but actually to put it in service of God. Not just to be generous because I think it's good or it's what I want to do, but to say, Lord, how are you calling me to be generous? Similarly with our piety and our prayerfulness. I think that's a good thing, that we have to have that deep sense of being with God at all times. To be able to go into the quiet of our hearts, our quiet room, as Jesus describes it, to be in union with God, our Heavenly Father, away from the noise and distractions of this world. But if we only do that, if we get focused on doing that because we're good at it or because we're comfortable there, then we actually never want to go out and love others as Jesus did. Again, I don't think he says, well, throw that prayerfulness out, but instead bring that to Jesus and say, Lord, how are you calling me to be prayerful? To spend this time with you in quiet, to know you well, so that I can also go out and love my neighbor as myself. Or if we have a great independence and ability to get things done, that's not a bad thing. But if we focus just on that, we quickly become focused on our own will and our own desires, rather than saying, God, how am I supposed to put this in service of you? How can I actually make these talents and abilities obedient and open to your holy will? I think that's really the secret of today's gospel, that Jesus wants Peter and all the apostles to know that they have special gifts and abilities, and those are, in some ways, the reason he chose them for this mission to be apostles, the reason he's going to send them out into the world to bring his gospel. But that first and foremost, they have to listen and obey the will of God. Not to do it because they're good at it, not to do it because that's what they want, but to see that as a way to better serve God and to serve the people around them. Because oftentimes that can feel a lot like how Jeremiah reacts in the first reading. Jeremiah is very frustrated, to be frank, with Almighty God. It's like, Lord, you sent me on this mission. I said yes to it. I knew it may not be so much fun, but you tricked me. You duped me, and I let myself be tricked. In some ways, he's mad at God, but he's probably also a little bit mad at himself. He said, you gave me this really hard message to bring to the people, and so that's what I did, and I was kind of hoping they would maybe convert or actually listen to me at some point, but none of that has happened. None of it has been successful. I feel like a total failure, and this has been a total waste of time. It's basically what Jeremiah says. But he cannot stop doing it. But then it becomes like a fire burning in my heart. That's not Jeremiah's desire to do what he wants. It's not Jeremiah wanting to use his talents and abilities for things for himself. But this fire burning in his heart is simply to be obedient to Almighty God, to receive that mission that he's been given, and to say, Lord, even if it doesn't seem very successful to me, frankly, even if it seems like a total waste of time when I look back at it, I still want to do it. I still want to align my life with your holy will and your desires. But I cannot do anything else. That's the desire that Jesus has as he turns towards Jerusalem. That he knows there's going to be pain and suffering and difficulty that comes with it, but he cannot help but do the will of God, his heavenly Father. Let us pray that like Jesus and like the apostles, we can learn to do that in our daily lives. To notice those gifts and abilities that we have, like Peter's rockiness and his stubbornness, but not to rely on them as ways to think we're doing God's will and doing the right thing. Instead, let us take those gifts and put them at the service of the will of God, seeking always to be obedient to our Heavenly Father, always seeking first his will and the chances to love God and to love our neighbor. That as we do that little by little, he will conform us to the generous love of Christ our Savior. And no matter what's going on around us, whether we are successful or what seems like a failure, like the prophet Jeremiah, whether we're enduring benefits and great success, or we're being persecuted and enduring physical harms, like Jesus says on the way to the cross. Between those extremes and everything in between, we can always seek to do the will of God, always finding joy in doing his holy will. That little by little, we can transform this world into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father, doing his generous and loving will here on earth, as it's done by the saints and angels in heaven.